but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. This is the word of the Lord. Now the choir's going to sing their anthem. Okay, stand. No. Right, you're doing your... Is that correct? Right. So, okay. Yeah.
How is that? Can you hear me? We messed up our notes up here. That's not a good thing when you're doing something for the first time. So as Christians, we're all pretty clear about the Lord's guidance in saying that we are expected to serve. We are to be of service while here on this earthly plane. So our topic today is an examination of meaningful service to others. Where does this happen? When and why? Take a moment to think of how you have served, or maybe you could have and you haven't yet. While you're reflecting on your own service story, let's take another step to examine what service means. The word service can mean a lot of things. Acting is both a noun and a verb. I am a teacher. In simplest terms, it's the action of helping or doing work for someone. It can be assistance, a good turn, a favor, kindness, a helping hand, aiding someone in their time of need. Well, the Bible is full of references about service to oneself, to other people, all God's creatures, and the planet. There are so many, it took us some serious Bible study and deliberation to choose a few. Here's one from Ephesians. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. These God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We serve and volunteer confidently, knowing that God has prepared the way for us. Here's another one from John chapter 3. Beloved children, our love can't be an abstract theory that we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. So how is it we offer this service? To whom and for what? And how are we doing? Well, for most of us, most of the time, this service is open, voluntary, and a choice of many possibilities. At times, we choose based on a sense of obligation, and other times, because it's just meaningful. That sense of obligation can diminish the sense of choice. But meaningful service are those actions that touch your soul, that provide a sense of satisfaction and that delicious feeling like you have made a difference. So service can take many forms. Accidental service is when you act because there's a need that just appears before you and you act. So, like recently, you know, the car in the ditch, and we have a rope and winter tires. Someone is struggling with a heavy door, and you happen to have good balance and strong arms to assist. There's also scheduled service, like contributing to Meals on Wheels, or driving cancer patients to their appointments, or, like today, snow angels. Then there's heroic service, where there is big impact for the actions you take. There's an excellent book that we just bought, actually, called Canadian Courage, true stories of Canada's everyday heroes that tells many such stories. You may have stories of your own heroic service and other types of service that, of your own that you could share. Some of the time, service is attached to other roles and responsibilities. Really, all our jobs offer a service to other people or things, or society, or both. We wouldn't need someone doing that job if it didn't serve in some way. Seeing our work through this service lens brings more meaning to everyday tasks. So my job has a bit of a twist when it comes to service. I work as a faculty member for an Alberta university. So I'm required to spend 40% of my time teaching, 40% doing research or knowledge construction, and 20% in service. It's not voluntary, but I do have some choice. I can support my field, which is education technology, or the university, or my community. So I must do it, but I still get some choice. Something I do in my work service requirements fits well with the mission and service mandate of the United Church. I design and teach courses for anyone working to improve education structures, particularly in the developing world. Slide, please, Keith. I build and teach courses with a group called the Commonwealth of Learning. Their mission is to help Commonwealth nation states, their governments, institutions, and organizations expand the scale, efficiency, and quality of learning by using the right kind of strategies. So the course we offer is called, are you ready for this? A Massive Open Online Course, or MOOC. They're designed to deliver learning content online to any person anywhere, usually at no charge, with no limit to the number of people who can attend. Our MOOCs are designed with developing countries in mind and their particular needs, but really anyone from anywhere can join. Next slide, please. One of the MOOCs we offer is called Technology Enhanced Learning, a free 5-week fully online course with videos, documents, and discussion boards where participants can meet and work with each other. Here in the course, they meet other online teachers and educators from all over the world who are also learning about the possibilities with technology or not, and how learning can be enhanced. They're supported by us as instructors who understand technology-enabled teaching and learning. We explore easy-to-use technologies for classroom and online teaching. And it's a fun and collaborative learning environment via the internet, where it's available. And participants do receive certification for some of the professionals. They can get credit for this for raises and promotions and so on. Next slide, Keith. So we've run the course 10 times. Oh, it's hard to see this, but... this one is good. Okay, good. Every course so far, we've run it 10 times, and we do run the other MOOCs as well. Every course has between 750 and 3,800 participants. Over time, with this course, we've reached over 14,000 people in 182 countries. Next slide, Keith. So India, Bangladesh, Rwanda, and Fiji get their reward for the most participants. And as you can see, this is just the top 20. We didn't want to bore you with listing all 82, but we were really pleased with the reach. And it's amazing how, with the right strategies, and we use a community-based structures so that our first job is to hook other people up, say, okay, well, Joe, did you notice that Marianne is from the same country or the same area or is asking the same questions, so they start working together. So meeting and connecting with people from all over the world is high on a list of meaningful service. Moving from service at arm's length to personal connections, I love that once a week we're able to build, once a week we are able to connect with these people in person. Those who want to come, we meet up on Zoom. So while it's wonderful to build something that may have helped, even in a small way, improve education, that then has a ripple effect and will improve the lives of many others. That's great. But meeting with them on Zoom individually is the most exciting service. Then I can be of more specific assistance to what's actually going on in that area, if I'm asked. And excuse me for 1 minute while I sort out my notes here. I'm missing a page. Can I have the next slide? So I want to say that there are times when we can be of service where you are identifying structures, You are building things, but you're at arm's length. That's one way of doing service. But there are perhaps more meaningful, that's my personal opinion, opportunities to be one-on-one. Being of personal service to an individual is different, and it takes a different set of knowledge and skills. So how good are we at that? Miss Abigail Toubeau is a journalist and missionary who shares her views on what she calls 5 potentially inconvenient steps to serving others well. I'm working on these myself and wanted to share briefly, quickly with you. So her first suggestion is that we change our position. We serve each other well when we actively decide to take on the role of a servant. This seems obvious, but missing this step can lead to doing more harm than good. When we study the life of Jesus, we find countless examples where he took on the role of servant. To truly model service after Jesus, we have to believe that everyone else in the room is just as, or more important as us. By doing so, we force ourselves to leave our personal agenda behind and elevate the importance of each person. Changing our position naturally leads to doing more to dignify the person that we serve. We're not patronizing them because we have the ability to do something that perhaps they can't. Point number 2, take time to listen. It's easy to assume that we know what's best for others and to simply give them that. But if we seek to serve others well, the best thing we can do is take time to get to know people and honor them with a listening ear. If we show up to paint a house, build a wheelchair ramp, or put up new drywall after a hurricane, but don't take the time to listen, we lose the power of being intentional in the way that builds relationships. In my experience, while the project is important, sometimes sitting down with someone and just talking is just as valuable. Abigail's third point is that we need to care, even if it costs you something. When we listen to others, their needs might surprise us. By simply making the statement, let me know how I can help, or is there anything I can do for you today? We're opening ourselves up to a world of needs, not just the ones that are convenient or fit nicely into the time that we've allotted to help. Caring for another person might mean going against what's on your planned agenda or going back to the store again. Service requires time, energy, and resources. While it's important not to give more of yourself than you can spare, meaningful service is an act of giving. A small cost can make a big difference. Two more. Recognize that you might not be the whole solution. Oh boy. When we've listened to the full magnitudes of someone's brokenness, it can often be incredibly discouraging. We all have a natural inclination to want to fix everything and create a distance from what we can't fix. But when we seek to serve others in light of how Christ served us, we can take comfort in knowing that we are rarely the whole solution and that we may be just one small part of a much grander plan, and that's okay. The last one that is sometimes tough to learn, I can speak from experience, is allow yourself to be served. So when we allow ourselves to be influenced and changed by the people we seek to serve, we create avenues for mutual respect and ultimately mutual change. It's amazing how much you can learn and be transformed by the service that you're offering and to allow to be served as well. So it's incredibly meaningful to level the playing field and communicate to the person that you're serving that they have value and that they matter. I asked earlier, so how often is it we offer this service to whom and for what? How are we doing? Being mindful of our service can enhance and embellish the experience. In our moment of reflection, let's consider services we have offered and can offer and how we do so.